Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Amud Bet, nine lines from the bottom. Yitmar Chavite Kohen Gadol, Ketzera Usimotan. How do you make the Chavite Kohen Gadol? The main issue is that the psukim that describe the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol use a mix of terms, and that's what creates some of the sofek, is how to make the Chavitin. It says, Zek Kurban Aron Uvenav, Eshi Yakriv LaShem Biyom Mimashachoto, Asirita Ifasolot Minchat Tamid, Machatzita Baboker, Machatzita Baref. Then, Amachavat Bashemen Te'aseh. So Machavat would include a frying pan. That's the way that the Minchat Machavat is made. It's a shallow pan with the heat then causes it that the oil will fry the dough, in essence. So that's Amachavat Bashemen Te'aseh. Murbechet Tiviena, which is interesting, means scalded in hot water. Whether that means like a bagel of sorts, where they put the dough into the hot water first. Tufine minchat pitim takriv reach nichoch l'Hashem. The word tufine is translated as baking or something that was heated. So the problem you have is that you have it made in the machavat, which is in a frying pan, and you also have it baked. So how do you incorporate both the baking and the frying into the process? And that's really what the Gemara is saying. Ketzad osinotan. Rabbi Chir ba'avar amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ofa v'achar kach mitagna. That first you bake it, and then afterwards you baste it, you fry it, you put the oil on afterwards, and then fry it in the pan after it's already baked. Rabbi Asiyam Rabbi Chiyana metagna v'achar kach ofa. First you fry it, or you use the machavat, and then afterwards you bake it. So that's the question, is how do you deal with the tufine versus the amachavat hashemen? So Amar Rabbi Chir Bava, kavati didi mistavro. My explanation makes more sense. Tufine ta'afena na'a. That you have to bake it in a nice manner. And as Rashi explains over here, that na'a means that you want to bake it completely, which is v'shata fiyata batunor tei na'a. V'im mitagna t'chila rehi shchora min ha-shemen u min ha-machavat. It ought to be blackened by the oil from the shallow pan. And if you want to bake it nicely and give it a nice look, you want to do the baking before you do the frying. Rabbi Asi Amar Kavate Didi Mistavra Tufine. What is the contraction of Tufine? Ta'afena na. That's interesting. They're both arguing about this Tufine, that it's a combination of the word ta'afena, to bake it, and then something else. The question is the other word na, or the other word na. So is it baking it nicely, which would indicate baking without any other process beforehand? Or ta'afena na. That na usually means raw. And if that was the case, it would mean the same thing, which is that you bake it raw, then you're baking it when that's the first process that you're doing. Before it's fried, which would be the same thing as the previous. That's obviously not the explanation. It happens to be that it's a machloket in the explanation of the word na with regards to the Pesach. One of the instructions with regards to the cooking of the Korban HaPesach is that it has to be done tzliish. It has to be done roasted on the fire. But then it says you may not do it. Bashel u'bushal b'mayim. You can't boil it. And you can't eat it na. So the question is, what's the meaning of na there? Does na mean completely raw? Or does the na mean somewhat baked, somewhat raw? And so that's what the meaning over here is going to be. And maybe this should have influence on that statement also by the case of Pesach, because Rashi quotes it as the pasuk. Al tochlen min na, klomar, b'chachte mivushalet kitzato, ve'enu mivushalet kol tzacha. Means partly cooked, partly uncooked. That's na. I mean, it's not completely raw. It means raw, I mean, not completely cooked through. And over here, that's what's going to happen. Because if you fry it in a shallow pan, it will do the outside well, but the inside still will not be baked well. And so then when you bake it, that's what you're doing. Tufine na means you're bringing in something that's partially baked, partially not, and then you're baking it. I mean, partially raw, partially not. He thinks that you do the tigun, you do the frying first, and the basting the oil in the frying first, and then afterwards you do the afia. Kitanae, teke machloketanaim that we've seen. Tufine. So that's the Tanakama's view, which is the same as what Rabbi Asi just suggested. Rabbi Omer, the question of whether it references to the Mincha or references to the Kohen who's doing the Mincha. So if it's referencing to the Kohen, it's a Mapik Hey. That's probably what it meant before when it says Ufa and Mitagna. It's probably what the Kohen was doing, so it's probably a Mapik Hey there. I don't think it's referencing to the Mincha. Over here, by the Na'a, it could be referencing to the Mincha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Te'afena Rabbah. Itle na, vitle na'a. He has both. He has na and na'a, which is to offend a rabbah. Rashi here brings three different explanations of the meaning of what he says. He says one of them is a tefen a rabbah, afiot harbe, that you do many bakings. So he actually suggests that in the first explanation, what the rabbah means is you bake it, you fry it, and then you bake it again. So That's what it means, tafiyan or abav, that you do a lot of bakings, but in the essence, he gets the na'ayin, and he gets the na'in. He gets the na'ayin because he bakes it up front. He gets the na'in because then after the frying, he bakes it again. So that's one explanation he brings. Then he brings a second explanation, which is, rabah means gedola, means very big. Umrukat vidaka, very thin and wide, spread out. Vizehu noya. And that's what makes it beautiful. That's why he does the tigun first, which is the ika tigun gives you the na part. And the na'e part is not the na'e, like we said, that it is baked completely, but rather na'e over here means it makes a nice large, whatever the fried dough that you're creating over here, it's very large and wide. So that's the na'e, that's the noya part of it. That's the second explanation. The third explanation he brings is tefena raka. That you do it in a rakah, shirakacheha b'shemen, that you put lots of oil in it. Zeu noya tchila mitagna b'char kachufa. First you do the frying, and then afterwards you do the baking. And then you have na, na because you fry it first and not bake it first. And you have the na'a, because that's got to do with the putting a lot of oil in it, which makes it nice and makes it beautiful when you fry it first. But anyway, rakah would be thin, like a thin cracker. And so that's what makes it nice when you make it very thin. So that's what makes it nice. All right, it's not hatam. We have a Mishnah over there. Over there means later on in the Masechta. Chavite kohen gadol, lishatan, v'arichatan, v'afiatan, bifnim. The kneading, the setting up of the chavitin, and then the baking of them are all done inside the azara. V'dochot et ha-shabbat. And they also are doche Shabbat. So we know that Minchat Chavitin is brought by the Kohen Gadol daily, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Included in that is the right to bring it on Shabbat. It's brought on Shabbat. Gemara wants to know, Menahani Mile, how do you know that it's doche et Shabbat? That it's, you can't take it for granted that a Korban should be doche Shabbat, especially given the fact that the Minchat Chavitei Kohen Gadol are Minchat Yachid. So in general, when it comes to items that are doche Shabbat and doche Tumah in the Mikdash, generally it's a Chuvah Shekavua Lazman. It's an obligatory offering that has a fixed time to it, and generally it is a Korban HaTzibur. So sometimes, on a rare occasion like Yom HaKippurim, you might have a Korban Yachid, like the par of the Kohen Gadol, that is Doche Shabbat. But over here you have a what's seemingly a Korban Yachid that's brought by the Kohen Gadol, and it's Doche Shabbat. You might want to know, how do you know that it's Doche Shabbat? Why is it so obvious that it's Doche Shabbat? Now there are two aspects to being Doche Shabbat, which Tosfot will bring up later. One is Afiata, the baking of the chavitin, and the other aspect is the haktara, the placement on the mizbeach. So you could separate between the two. You could argue that the afiyah is not doche Shabbat, do it before Shabbat, and then you just put it on the mizbeach on Shabbat. Haktara will be doche Shabbat. Or is it also the afiyah that's doche Shabbat? From the Mishnah, it sounds like that even the afiyah is doche Shabbat, which is a bigger chiddush. Not only is the haktara doche Shabbat, but also the afiyah is doche Shabbat. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. How do you know this? Samar Avuna, tufine te'afena na'e. So you have to bake it nicely. Di'afi la'metmo. If you bake it yesterday, meaning on Erev Shabbat, like you were suggesting, in shefala, the wind will get to it. So that's what Rashi says over here. He says the source of the word in shefa is nefucha beruach. The wind will get into it and ruin it. V'neshafta beruachacha from the Azushir. So that's what he says the source of the mila is. But it'll be exposed to the air, whether that means it'll become stale, whether it means that it will become, you know, rise somewhat and it won't be as good, but it's not fresh. That's what you were asking about. So he says, they can't call it tufine na'a if it's not fresh. So Gemara Matkifla Rav Yosef, Ema de Kavish Le Biarka. If you surround it or bury it in vegetables, Deshalo Yishlapa Ruach, so that the air can't get it. That's that type of storage that doesn't allow the bread to be exposed to the elements that keeps it fresh. So they had their mechanisms for keeping things fresh, not freezing it and then reheating it, but they had a way to do it. So why not do that? We'll keep it fresh in that way. So the Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tano. So here are the other options. Taseh vafilu b'shabbat. Taseh vafilu b'tuma. So he says the word taseh, which is extraneous over here or in the Pasuk, tells you that you have a right to override the Shabbat and override tuma. And again, usually those are things that are chuvah that has a fixed time over here. The pasuk says that when you bring the korban chavitin, it says al machavat b'shemen te'aseh merbechet tevienu tufinei min chavitim te'akriv min reich nechoch l'Hashem. So te'aseh means even the asiyah is something that the Torah demands. Abayamar Amar Kora, the pasuk says, Solet mincha tamid. That's the beginning of the pasuk. Zeh korban aron v'navashi yakriv laHashem biyom mishachuto asvita ifas solet mincha tamid. But then he compares it. Harihu kiminchat tamidim. It's like the menachot that come with the tamidim that they are doche Shabbat. So to over here, the minchat chavitin will be doche Shabbat. Rav Amar al machavat. It says there that you have to do it in a machavat. Now machavat is a kli sharet lamed shituuna kli. It requires a kli sharet. Kli sharet are automatically mekadesh, whatever goes into them. And then they are pasul bilina. So e afi lamet mo, if you're baking it yesterday and part of the process is putting it into a machavat, which is a kli sharet, if sole bilina, then you're going to lose it with lina because you're going to keep it overnight. And then anything that's gone to a kli sharet, if it's not taken care of during that day and night, by the next morning already it's pasul bilina. So that's the problem here. Nothing to do with a pasuk, it's just the simple preparation stages which require you to bake it. But machavat won't allow you to bake it the day before. If you bake it the day before, you're then in a situation where you're going to have lina before you ever have the ability to put it on the mizbeach. So that's the failure over here. Now, there are a couple of things just to discuss in this situation. The first of which is a bias proof. A bias proof is that solet mincha tamid, harek mincha tamidim. It's like the mincha that comes with the korban tamid. Now, how do we know that the minchat tamidim are doche Shabbat? So we don't have any indication that the minchat tamidim are doche Shabbat. We know that the tamid, shoshachar, and tamid shoben arbaim are doche Shabbat, because there it says b'moado, that they're brought in their time, whatever that time is, irrespective of the fact that it is Shabbat, irrespective of the fact that it is Yom Tov. But how do we know that minchat tamidim are doche Shabbat? So Tosafot says, dichtiv gabei Shabbat, it says in Parshat Pinchas, that we read every Shabbat, Alolata tamid. All right, it says over there that you bring the korban Shabbat alolata tamid v'niska, and that you bring it on, in addition to the tamid and all the nisachim and the menachot that come with the tamid. You bring the korban of Shabbat. So that tells you the musfei Shabbat come after you've done the korban tamid, and it's nisachim and it's mincha. That's how you know that the mincha is docha Shabbat, because you bring in the musfei Shabbat after you've completed the tamid, and it's minchat nisachim. He says that's built into the fact that Shabbat demands that you do this after the tamid and after the nisachim of the korban tamid. So that shows you that you now know that it's docha Shabbat. And then he says, u'pesach nami gamrinen mo'ado mo'ado mi tamid. And then we learn the Pesach from the mo'ado of tamid. He says, tema, the lamed min alamed habi. That, and we know in the dinim of kodoshim, that you can't learn one item from another item. If you know something from here, you can't learn it to somewhere else. He says, "V'nira d'glui milta ba'almahu." Right? That's what it says, that this teaches you that any time you have these types of associations, they're going to be doche Shabbat. It's not a full-fledged limud, just an indication, the fact that if it comes together with the tamid, it comes together with this item, everything that's in the package is doche Shabbat. So that's interesting, just that he calls it a glui milta rather than a full-fledged limud. But that's how Abaye works. The second thing is Rava's contention. This is where Tosafot starts to interesting. Tosafot says over here, why by the shtei lechem does the Gemara not also say the same thing over here? The Shtei Lechem, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know the Shtei Lechem are Doche Shabbat? And the Gemara does not bring the answer that Rava brings, which is, well, if you make them in a Kli Sharet on Friday before Yom Tov or before Shabbat, then they're going to be a problem because you're going to have lina. How come you don't have the same problem by the Shtei Lechem that you have here? It says, V'afila Moto Yifsala V'lina, V'afila Hachi Ba'ikra. Still, even knowing that, they need a prosuk over there to tell you that it's Doche Shabbat. Over there, there's no indication that you have to use a kli sharet. You have the option of baking it in the mikdash, in the mikdash's oven, and then it will be in a kli sharet, and then it will be subject to lina. But you could always bake it outside, and then be mikdash and bring it in later. Aval hacha, you don't have the option here by the minchat chavitin. The minchat divin, that option doesn't exist because it says al machavat. And machavat is a kli sharet, and so by definition, it must be done in a kli sharet. That's one point that the Tosafot makes, is that this is different than the Shtei Lechem because of the demand for kli sharet. That's what forces you into this position. That's number one. It says, the tema, ha'chanami delo baye la fila, aval haktara pshitale de dochi. He says, I don't understand. Here the Gemara is searching for a source for the fact that afiyah is doche Shabbat, but it assumes that you can put it on the mizbeach. You can do the haktara on Shabbat. It says, any other korban that we find, we always have to find a source for the fact that it's doche Shabbat. How come all of a sudden over here it's taken for granted that you could put it on Shabbat? Could he parash you out? Shchita alak, darab, me'atzad. He says we learn all of these things out. He says, v'ishlamar, t'chik tara, shitalu de beinan o mitase afilu b'shabbat ketana de berei b'shmal or maharehi lecha k'minchat midim. So what he tells, what in the end says is that even Rava in the end needs Abaye or needs tana de berei Rabbi Shmal. Those two sources before, we were using them to teach you that afiyah is doche Shabbat, but both of those sources would also tell you that the akhtara is doche Shabbat. So Rava comes along and says, I don't need it for afiyah. I can prove to you that afiyah is on Shabbat because of the problem of lina. But then Rava is still caught in a position where he needs a source for haktara. And that's what Tosfot says, that Rava does not dismiss Abaye or Tana de Berei Shmal. He says that he limits the application of those sources to haktara, not to afiyah. That will come important later, that Rava is not rejecting Abaye completely, because the Gemara now is going to bring a braita in support of Rava. The question is, why is it only in support of Rava, not in support of Abaye? Tosfot will later say that the braita is in support of Abaye as well. But Rava also believes that Abaye is right. Rava does not reject Abaye. When the Gemara says Tanya Kavati de Rava, they're saying, yeah, it's like Rava and like Abaye, because Rava thinks Abaye is correct as well in a more limited scope. So that's what the Gemara says here, Tanya Kavati de Rava, Alma Chabat, so that's from the Pasuk, Lameit Shetu'na Kli, that's what we just saw in the Tosafot, you need a Kli Sharet, Bashemen, Lahosif Lashemen, to tell you you need extra oil over here. Because had you just written al machavat, we'll see, that would have, by definition, included shemen. Because that's what a minchat machavat comes with shemen. Ba shemen seems to indicate that you need more than the normal amount of shemen. Ve'enio de'akama. This is your question. How much oil comes along with it? We know that it's an isaron solit of chita. That much we know about the flour. What we don't know is how much oil comes along with it. Hareini dan. I'll try to logically understand or infer what it is. Namarkan shemen, v'namar lahalan b'minchat nisachim is shemen. It says shemen here, b'minchat nisachim it says shemen. Malalan shlosha, shloshet lugim, lisaron. Just like over there, it's 3 lug shemen for every isaron of chita. Avkan shloshet lugim, lisaron. So it's over here, then it should be 3 lug shemen to 1 isaron. How do you know that's the right comparison? Oklach l'derchzu. Namar kan shemen, v'namar b'minchat nidava shemen. It says here by the Minchat Chavitim Shemen, it says Shemen by Nidava, Malalan, by Minchat Nidava, the ratio is 1 to 1. Log Echad, 1 log Shemen for every Yisaron Solit. Avkan, Log Echad, Nira Lemidome. Let's figure out which one it's more similar to. Is it more similar to a Minchat Nidava? Is it more similar to a Minchat Nisachim? Danim. So the way that we have in our Gemara is Tavshat, Tavshat. There are many that take out the bet. So you can see that in the parentheses in the upcoming explanation. Rashi seemingly leaves it in, which then presents somewhat of a problem later on in the Gemara, but we'll read it, we'll explain each. The first is tough, is tadir. These are things that come on a frequent basis. That is because the Minchat Nesachim comes with the Korban to meet every day, and Minchat Chavitin also comes every day. I mean, these are daily sacrifices, as opposed to a Minchat Nedavat, which is exactly what it means. A voluntary offering only comes on occasion. Ba'achova. So this is the one that many take out. Rashi leaves it in, but it's an obligatory offering. The Chavitin must be brought every day. The Minchat Nesachim must be brought every day. And Minchat Nedava, by definition, is not a chova. Docha Shabbat v'docha Tuma. When it comes to the Minchat Chavitin, when it comes to Minchat Nesachim that comes with the Quran to me, they're both Docha Shabbat and they're both Docha Tuma. That's not true. By Minchat Nedava, something that's brought by the Yachid, it's not Docha Shabbat, not Docha Tuma, because it's not a fixed Quran. It's not a fixed time when you have to bring it. So those are the 4 items that are a common denominator between the Minchat Nisachim and the Minchat Chavitin, which would indicate that maybe we should follow that position. So the Gemara answers, maybe not. Oklach the Derzo, Danim Yagil mi Yagil. Here Rashi does take out the second yud, and most people take out the second yud, but you could leave it in. The first yud is Yachid, that the difference between the Minchat Chavitin and the Minchat Nidava are individual korbanot. They belong to individuals. One to the Kohen Gadol, one to the person, the Balim, that are bringing the Minchat. The Minchat Nesachim that come with the Korban Tamid or Shel Tzibur. They're the public funds. They come from Bnei Yisrael as a whole. Biglal Atzma, the Gimel is that they come of their own right. I mean that Minchat Chavitin is a standalone Mincha, and Minchat Nedava is a standalone Mincha. Minchat Nesachim that comes with the Korban Tamid is adjoined to the Korban Tamid. It's the Zevach that causes you to have to bring the Mincha. That's different. And Lamed is Livvona. We'll skip Yayin for right now because most take it out, and Rashi seems to take it out also. So Livvona is the fact that the Minchat Yachid comes with Livona, and so does the Minchat Chavitin. The Minchat Nesachim doesn't come with Livona, doesn't have Livona associated with it. So those are 3 things that are common between a Minchat Nedava and a Minchat Chavitin. Now, if you eliminate the yud from this one and you eliminate the bet from the other one, then you have 3 and 3 and you're at a stalemate. If you leave them both in, then you have 4 and 4 and you're also at a stalemate because the logic dictates in both directions. Now, the extra one in this case is the word yayin, which is somewhat difficult that they have the word yayin there because there is yayin with all of these korbanot. The way that they explain it is how integral the yayin is to the korban. Is it something that is additive or is it something that just is associative? So what they suggest is that the yayin that comes with the minchat nedava and the yayin that comes with the minchat chavitin is directly associated with the mincha, as opposed to the yayin that comes with the minchat nisachim of the tamid, which is driven by the korban tamid. I mean, there is a minchat nisachim, there is yayin, but they're both driven by the tamid, even though they're together. So that's how you would have to differentiate if you do keep the word yayin in. The biggest problem is Rashi. Rashi, who includes chova and does not include yayin, means that he has 4 against 3. Yet the Gemara is not machria between them. Why? There's no stalemate here. So what you have to suggest is, I would have said it differently. Some say that Dochei Shabbat and Dochei Tumah are the same thing because they're driven by the same factor. Or I could say the other way around. So maybe that Baal Chova is what's driving the Dochei Shabbat and Dochei Tumah. So maybe that's another way to say it, because the obligatory side of it that has to come at this time is actually what's driving it. But either way, you could drop one of these, and therefore you'd still have 3 and 3 for Rashi. So that we lost a logical argument. Now we have to go to the limud from the psukim. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko omer, solit mincha tamid. Harei lecha kemincha tamidim. That is Abaye's statement. The Gemara said, Tanya kavetari Rava. But this is exactly what Abaye said. That's where Tosfot says, I told you that I think Rava holds of Abaye too. And that's why the Braita follows Rava, because it also follows Abaye, because Rava himself also agrees with Abaye. Ma mincha tamidim gimolugim. It's the limud that Abaye brings, but it's a different usage of it, which is just like the minchat midim comes 3 log to the isaron, because that's a minchat nisachim, and it's a keves, and the keves has 3 log to an isaron. Avzo gemalugim liisaron. That's the limud of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Shimon Omer, riba kan shemen, riba minchat kvasim shemen. There's an extra shemen that's brought with this korban minchat chavitin, that's the word bashemen. There's also extra shemen brought by a keves. The nisachim that come with the keves have a larger number of ratio of oil. We'll see that in a second. Malahalan shlosha lugim lisaron. Just like by the keves, it's 3 to 1 is the ratio, 3 log for every isaron. Avkan shlosha lugim lisaron. Oklach l'derbzo. Who says that that's right? Maybe riba kan shemen. Riba minchat parim ve'elim shemen. Also by the parim and ve'elim, there's also extra shemen versus a minchat nedava. So maybe that's what it's referencing to. Malahalan shnei lugim lisaron. Avkan shnei lugim lisaron. So just like there, it's 2 to 1 the ratio. So to over here, it's 2 to 1 the ratio. Just remember, we've been reading all the korbanot ha-chag now in Sukkot. The minchat nisachim that come along with them are differentiated between the par, the ayol, and the keves. The par is the largest animal, then the ayol, and then the keves is the smallest animal. We know that the par comes with shalosha isronim, comes with 3 isaron of solet, and then a chatzi ahin, and half a hin. A hin is 12 log. Chatzi ahin is 6 log. So it means 6 log shemen to 3 isaron of solet, so it's a ratio of 2 to 1. An ayol comes with shnei isronim, and it comes with shlishita hin, 1/3 of a hin. A hin is 12 log again, 1/3 is 4 log. So 4 log shemen to 2 isaron, it's 2 to 1. The keves, on the other hand, comes with isaron, solet for every keves, and a revi'ita hin. Revi'ita hin is 3 log. So it's a 3 to 1 ratio. It's 3 log to 1 isaron. So what Rabbi Shimon says, if you're going to include extra shemen, should you do the keves, which is the greatest of them, which is 3 to 1 ratio, or should you do 2 to 1, which is the parim and elim, because in the deva is a 1 to 1 ratio. So if you're going to say bashem means more, does more mean 2 to 1? Does more mean 3 to 1? We don't know. Nearly me dome. Which one is it more similar to? Dani mincha ba'a isaron, mincha ba'a isaron. Well, you know what? It's much more similar to the keves, because here the minchat chavitim comes with 1 isaron solet, and so does the minchat nisachim of the keves. It's 1 isaron solet. Vein dani minchat ba'a isaron, mincha ba'a bim beit v'gimel isaronim. As opposed to the par, which is 3 isaron solet, and the ayo, which is 2 isaron solet. So they're not the way to learn. Those are the limudim. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the braita. Ha gufakasha. The braita itself seems to have a logical misstep in the middle, which is Amart Bashemin the Hosif La Shemin. You said I have the extra word Bashemin to tell you, you gotta put extra shemin on. Bahadotani, Nemrakan Shemin, Benemra Minchat Nidava Shemin. And then you have Shemin here, you have Shemin there. Let's compare Minchat Nidava to a Minchat Chavitin. That misses the logic before. Bashemin said extra shemin. Minchat Nidava is your coarse case, which is 1 to 1 ratio. It's a case of Isaron to Shemin. So then what Bashemin did you add on? If you tell me Bashem means more shemen, how would you ever compare a minchat nidava to minchat chavitin? So Rabbi Mantana Bashem and Osif Rabbi Shimon. What they're doing now is bifurcating the brayta between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Shimon says Bashemen is an exclusionary term, and that's what teaches you that you need extra shemen in this case. So once you've already gotten to the point of extra shemen, then you got to decide, what does extra shemen mean? Does it mean parvayo, or does it mean keves? Whereas Rabbi Shmuel does not have Bashemen as the extra oil, and therefore he goes through the more logical stage and says, well, is it closer to a minchat nisachim, or is it closer to a minchat nidava? But he can do that because he doesn't learn Bashemen to mean extra oil in the first place. So therefore he tries to figure out what is it more similar to. So Bedina, man kamahader, Rabbi Shmuel. And the Dina, which is the logical argument, that was Rabbi Shmuel speaking. So the first part of the Braita, he had Rabbi Shimon speaking, then Rabbi Shmuel, and then it goes back and gives Rabbi Shmuel's final limud, and then back to Rabbi Shimon's final limud. Ravuna Breda of Yeshua Amar, Kula Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The whole thing is authored by Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. But Shemen, lo sif la Shemen. That's to tell you extra Shemen. De'ilik boa Shemen, lo tzarich. To tell me that it needs Shemen at all, I don't need that. Kevin dichtiba amachavat. Because the pasuk says amachavat, which tells you it's like a minchat machavat, Amya. Oh, inu elo likbo ala Shemen. Or maybe it's coming to teach you that it needs Shemen in the first place. De'ilo katav rachmana bashemen, because it didn't write the word bashemen, havamina tavik minchat chute. It should be like a minchat chute, which is otherwise known as a minchat chareva. A dry mincha, which is that there's no shemen and no livona that comes with a minchat chote. The question, what does machavat mean? Does machavat mean the kli? Or does machavat mean like the minchat? So hadar amar. So then he goes on, tabi namidik bala shemen. So he says, okay, let's assume it's coming to establish that it is shemen here. The fact that you need shemen. Okay, once we know that you need shemen, teite midino. Let's figure out what you do, but dan dino. And then he says, which way? I can't figure it out. Minchat nesachim, minchat nedavah, I can't get anywhere. Lo achileib, asr chokra. And that's what he needed the pasuk for. So minchat tamid, kidimisayim, Rabbi Shmuel milte. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel ends. So they claim, according to this, the claim is that Rabbi Shmuel was the author of the whole braita until he finishes his limud. And then we have Rabbi Shimon at the end. And that's just Rabbi Shimon's only statement in the braita is at the way end. Now, this does present somewhat of a problem. Why would you have a hava mina that a minchat chavidim should be like a minchat chuteh? Who would ever think such a thing? A minchat chuteh, in particular, is the only dry minchat that comes, except for a minchat sota. But the reason that they are dry, as we learned earlier in Masechta, is shalotie korbeno mehudar. So it's not pretty. It's not nice. You're bringing it for a chait. We don't want to make it into some elegant, pants type of korban. Remember the Gemara said over there, they're chote niskar, then the chote ends up benefiting from that because he doesn't have to pay less money for his mincha because he has to bring shemen and levona. And the Gemara says that's better to have it lo mehudar, to indicate that this is not a mincha of voluntary nature, it's a mincha of a chait. So why would you ever compare minchat chavitin to a minchat chote? So that's the problem or the core issue. There are two ways to deal with it. One way to answer that is that the shita earlier on in the Masechta that said that about Minchat Chuteh was Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shmuel doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it is that we're going to see later today, but it's possible that the Minchat Chavitin is a Minchat Chuteh. One of the reasons brought for why the Kohen Gadol brings a Minchat Chuteh, or a number of the reasons that he brings the Minchat Chavitin every day, is to be Mechaper on the Chait of the Kohanim, who work with the mincha and take off the komets, and then they eat the shirayim. Sometimes they don't get the exact amount, and they leave some in the shirayim. So he brings the mincha kalil to make up for all the deficits that there are for the kohanim. That's one way to explain it. The other one is to say, no, this is all peirushim on what mincha. There's nothing in the pasuk that says it's a mincha chuteh. Just bringing you different explanations that are given for why he brings it every day. There's no explanation why he brings mincha chavitin. The other explanation given is that it's for the kohen gadol to bring a Minchat Chuteh every day to show you that even the greatest person in Klal Yisrael can sin, and that he brings the Minchat Chuteh, one should not be embarrassed than to bring a Chatat for what they do, and an Ani especially should not be embarrassed, because even the Kohen Gadol brings a Minchat Chavitin as his Minchat Chuteh, so an Ani should not be embarrassed to bring a Minchat Chuteh. So that's, in that sense, then maybe it's not so far-fetched to say that Minchat Chavitin would be compared to Minchat Chuteh. So those are two ways to deal with why possibly you would compare it to a Minchat Chuteh. So then the last possibility here is Rabba Amar Kula Rabbi Shimon. The whole introductory phase of the Braita is Rabbi Shimon. Vilu no ne'emar kamar. And this is what it means, had it not said. Vachimar, bashemen lo sif la shemen. The bashemen clearly comes to add on extra shemen. De'ilik bo la shemen. It's coming to establish that you have to put oil, period. Lo tzarich. You don't need that. Kevin dechni ba'al machavat. Because it already says a machavat. machavat damyo. It's similar to a minchat machavat. Va'ad shelo yomar bashemen. All right, so now we know bashemen. Before it writes bashemen, maybe we could have learned this out without the word bashemen. Yesh li bedin. I could have learned it out logically. Vidan dina lo achile. He tries to learn it logically and fails. Va'ad shelo bashemen. Because the 3 and 3, or 4 and 4, the minchat chavidin and the minchat nidava, or the minchat chavidin and the minchat nesachim, when you compare them, they come out equal. So there's nothing that guides you to which one you go. Therefore, you need bashemen to teach you that there's extra shemen. And so then, hadar amar tiavik minchat parim ve'ilim. So he says, oh, then make it like a parim and ilim. If you want to do extra shemen, that's enough extra shemen. So hadar amar danin mincha haba isaron mincha ba isaron. So that's the final stage of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shmuel was just interjected in the middle that he has his own limud to deal with it. He's that's his own thing he does. Everything else is the explanation of Rabbi Shimon in the Braita. Now, for Rabbi Shimon, we know why he says it's not like Baba Shemen. The option to say Minchat Chavitin is like Minchat Kotev. Rabbi Shimon doesn't exist because Rabbi Shimon is the author of that position earlier. The reason Minchat Kotev is missing the Shemen is because it's not an enhanced Korban. And that would be counter to the Minchat Chavitin of a Kohen Gadol. That should be an enhanced korban. I mean, that's the Kohen Gadol is bringing it. It should be an enhanced korban. Therefore, for him, it's not even an option to say it's like Minchat Choteh. Also, Rabbi Shimon, interesting enough, believes that a Minchat Choteh of a Kohen has a kometz taken off of it first. And then after you take the kometz off of it, then you put the entirety of it on the Mizbeach. So as opposed to the Chachamim who believe that a Minchat Kohen is entirely put on the Mizbeach right up front, there's no kometz taken off of it. Rabbi Shimon believes you take a kometz off, and then you put it onto the Mizbeach. And the Kometz and the Shirayim go onto the Mizbeach. Because for him, the Kalil is after you take off a Kometz, then you put it onto the Mizbeach. That's one of the reasons why he can't compare it to a Minchat Chavitin. For him, it's not even an option to say it's like Minchat Choteh. Therefore, the word Bashemen can't be to establish that there is Shemen. It must be to add Shemen. Once it's to add Shemen, Parim Elim is the first stage. Then we say, well, that doesn't make sense because Kvasim have an Isaron just like that, and therefore they should learn from the Keves and not from the Parvayil. Alright, next Mishnah. So the previous Mishnah told us that when the Kohen Gadol brings the Chavitin each day, he brings half in the morning, half in the afternoon, and then if he died after bringing the morning one, if there's a Kohen Gadol appointed in the interim, that the new Kohen Gadol has to bring a full one, split it in half, and then you get two halves that go on the Mizbeach and two halves that are lost. But that all assumes that in a timely fashion, they appointed a new Kohen Gadol before the next Minchat Chavitin comes. What happens, and this is what the Mishnah says, Lo minu Kohen Acher Tachtav. They didn't successfully replace the Kohen Gadol in time before the next Minchat Chavitin had to be brought. Mishomi Haita Kreba. Who is responsible then to bring the Minchat Chavitin in the absence of a Kohen Gadol? So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishel Tzibur. That is paid for by the coffers of the Klal Yisrael from the Lishka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishel Yoshim. It's paid for by the inheritors. Ushlema haita kreva. And it's brought whole. Rashi on the Mishnah says that that's modifying Mishel Tzibur. That it's brought Mishel Tzibur, that it's brought whole. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda also believes that, and then we'll have to deal with that in the Gemara. It's strange that Rashi only points it. He mentions in the Mishnah, Kozmachi kreva Mishel Tzibur, it comes Shlema. I mean that the two options would be to say it's modifying Rabbi Yehuda, or it's modifying both. Right. The fact that Rashi only says modifying Rabbi Shimon seems very strange in the Mishnah. You'll see here that he's going to give two explanations to Rabbi Shimon, and he gives the option that Rabbi Shimon also says it. But that fact means that it should have been both of them. I don't know why he specifically mentions Mishel Tzibur in the Mishnah. Tana Banan, Kohen Gadol Shemet, V'lo Minu Kanein Acher Kaktav, Minayin Shetei Minchato Kriva Mishel Yoshim. How do we know it comes in the Yoshim? Tamalomar. So now they're going to parse the Pasuk, not the way that it's the natural way to read it, but they're going to re-parse the Pasuk to get a definition like that. The way the Pasuk reads is, V'akoin HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav. Right, that is the coin who's anointed in the stead, which means the new Kohen Gadol. That's what it really means. Gemara is going to parse it in this way. Kohen HaMashiach, so the Kohen HaMashiach, Tachtav, to replace him, Mibanav Yaseota, from his children you will bring it. So they reparse the puzzle by putting commas around Tachtav to say that in place of the Kohen Gadol, then Banav Yaseota. You have to segregate Banav from the Tachtav Mibanav. That's the way the puzzle naturally reads, is Tachtav Mibanav. Instead of saying Tachtav, then Mibanav Yaseota. Yochol yakrivenu chatzaim. You would think you'd bring it as halves. Tamalomar ota kula lo chetzia. The entire thing is brought, not half of it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that, first of all, that's strange. That's why I pointed out that Rashi is strange in the Mishnah that he says that it's in Rabbi Shimon Shita. Over here, the Rabbi Yehuda is clear that he believes number one it comes from the Yorshim, and number two is that it comes whole. That it comes ota. It comes whole on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says chak ulam. So the pasuk over here says Chakolam Mishel Olam, that it comes from the public at large. Then it says Khalil Taktar. Shitekula Bahaktara. Question about what is being said over here. Khalil Taktar. Khalil Taktar means that it means to be put fully on the Mizbeach. Shitekula Bahaktara. It's all on the Mizbeach. Rashi over here brings two explanations. So the first explanation is Kula Bahaktara. Shaloya semi menos shiraim lachila. Kula Bahaktara means it totally ends up on the Mizbeach. Nothing is left over. So then in that sense, it's not a definition of how much of the Mincha is brought. It's just saying, what do you do with the Mincha? You put the entire Mincha on the Mizbeach. Here is a separate requirement, which is that whatever you do put on, you put on fully. It's Khalil Taktar. That's one Rashi. Lishnach Rinu. Shiaktiru Shleima Velo Lechatzain. That would not mean that, first of all, clearly that is written by Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Yehuda already gave you that information before from his Limud, that it is Otah. Otah is brought fully and not the Chatzain. And then over here, it says Khalil Taktar Sheitukula Baktara. That all of it is done Baktara. Means that the entirety of it goes on, and that means Rabbi Shimon also agrees that the entirety is put on, and not just half of it put on. That, first of all, would explain why Rashi in the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Shimon, but that just means that also Rabbi Shimon says. It doesn't mean only Rabbi Shimon says. It says both of them say that it's Kula Kaktara. The Baalei HaTosafot say, then, if you suggest that it means that it's Kula Taktir, that you shouldn't make it into Shiraim Lachila, then the Gemara wants to know later on, the word Ota, what does Rabbi Shimon do with it? Well, if Rabbi Shimon doesn't have a source for the fact that you have to put the entirety around the Mizbeach, then he has a use for the word Ota later on. That's why the Baalei Tosafot, using the Shita Mekubetzet, say that they don't think the first explanation of Rashi is so compelling, because then Rabbi Shimon would need Ota to teach you exactly where Rabbi Yehuda learns. And the Gemara later on asks, what does Rabbi Shimon do with the word Ota? He wouldn't need that question, because we know what he did with it. Therefore, they believe it means Kula, similar to what the Kula meant before, and that both of them believe the entirety goes on and not half of it in each of the Korbanot. Is that what they use it for? We need it for this braita. That's what the pasuk says. This is the korban of Aron uVanav with regards to Minchat Chavitim. You would think they bring a single korban for Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyotot. Tamalomar Asher Yakrivu LaHashem, that they have to bring it to Hashem. Aron b'fnei atzmo, uBanav b'fnei atzmo. The word Yakrivu sounds as plural, which is multiple. So the Hakrava is done by multiple people, which means that there seem to be multiple korbanot. So even though it says korban, the singular, it says Yakrivu in plural, which means that there's multiple korbanot. Aron b'fnei atzmo, uBanav b'fnei atzmo. Kohen Gadol by himself, and the Kohen Hedyot by themselves. Banav, Elu Kohenim Hedyotot. That refers to the regular Kohenim. Atahomer Kohenim Hedyotot, Oenela Kohenim Gidolim. Maybe it means Kohenim Gedolim in the future. Shuomer v'Kohen HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav, which is the later Pasuk, that already, he says, Harei Kohen Gadol Amor. That tells you that the Kohen Gadol brings it. HaMani Mekayim Banav. So then what's Banav? So you could look at Banav as being to the children of Aaron, which means Kohenei Hedyotot. Or Banav could be a reference to the future Kohenim Gedolim, meaning the Banav who take over and fill in his shoes are the Kohenim Gedolim. So they wanted to read it. Maybe when it says here that there's two korbanot to be brought, there's a present Kohen Gadol and future Kohenim Gadol that have to bring it. The Gemara says, well, Kohen Gadol HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav already tells you that future Kohenim Gadol may have to bring it. So then what does Banav mean? Banav must mean his real children now, the ones that are the Kohen Hedyotot, also have to bring it. HaMenyakeim Banav Elu Kohenim Hedyotot. So that's how we know that's Kohenim Hedyotot. Now the question is, what's the Havamina with regards to Kohen Hedyotot? Here Rashi brings two options. Kohen Hedyot Nitchanech Lavuda Boto Yom Hayam Akriv Yisaron. He brings an Yisaron, that's what it means, Kohanim Hedyotot. Lishnach Rina, V'yom HaMiluim Hayakach, Aval Dorot Lo Noheg V'lo Mipi Amoreh. I didn't hear this from my Rebbe, but he says that the other possibility is that the Havamina is that they would have brought it on the Yom HaMiluim, and they would not have brought it L'Dorot. They would have not brought it after that time. That's, there are two possibilities of what it means, Kohanim Hedyotot. When the Gemara in the end says Kohanim Hedyotot are included, does that mean they are included on the day of the Miluim, that they bring a Korban, because Banav means his children on that day? Or does it mean that they're included then for future, which means any time they come into service, they bring a Korban? Where it says, Im kein lichtov kra, ha-Kohen HaMashiach tachtav Banav yaseh. And if you want to parse the pasuk like we did, it would be much better if it didn't say tachtav MiBanav. It would be much better to say that ha-Kohen HaMashiach tachtav Banav yaseh, his children will do it. My mi banav, shemamina tarti, that is you both dinim. both the din that the Kohen HaMashiach, we know about his korban. Number two, we also know that the Yoshim are the obligatory parties when the Kohen Gadol passes away. They have to carry on the korban for their father, the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon, Hayota Ma'avdilei, that's what I was meant for. What does Rabbi Shimon do with the word Ota? Now, if you believe that the explanation of the limud that we brought before of Khalil Takhtar means that it just goes Khalil on Mizbeach, then he needs this otah, he would need to tell you you have to put the whole thing on. If he learns the whole thing on from the word Khalil Takhtar, then the otah is extraneous. What does he do with the word otah that Rabbi Yehuda learns that from? That's the source of what we saw in the previous Mishnah, when you do get a Kohen Gadol in place, in time, that he can't use the other half of the first Kohen Gadol's chavitin, and he also can't use the second half of his. Puts a hole in, uses his half, the other two halves get burnt, as we saw in yesterday's daf. The tibuklei umachatzita. So why don't he learn it out from the way we learned it out in yesterday's daf? Now, in yesterday's daf, it wasn't clear what the limud was. It says, machatzita baboker, umachatzita ba'erev. Rashi over there says it's learned from the word vav. The vav is extraneous. Now, how did Rashi know that? From here. Because it says here, why does he learn it out machatzita? Vav lo dorish. He doesn't dorish the extra vav. And Tosfot over here says, hacha lo dorish rash ribon vav, v'chein b'per kam de Sanhedrin. But most Sifal in Yan Rishon, he does. Tosfot in many places points out, there isn't a consistency in the view of the Tanaim with regards to certain Limudim, including whether they're Doresh above, not Doresh above. Are they Doresh, extraneous words, when there's a duplicate word that comes in a Pasuk? Are they Doresh? They say it's Lashon Mikra, or they say that it's open for Limud. And he points out that if you go through Shas, they're never consistent. Nobody has a consistent opinion through Shas. So Tosfot then says that it's not about whether you do or you don't, it's about whether you feel compelled in this situation to do it. Is there something compelling you to do it? Is there a reason not to do it? And each of the Tanaim has a different view as to what compels them to darshan in each particular case. And over here, Rabbi Shimon doesn't feel compelled to use the vav or feel that the vav is extraneous in the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda, hai chak olam, mai avidlei. What does he do with the chak olam? Huka de olam tehe. This should always be in place. So that means that you would have a havamina that this was a one-time thing that happened. And then afterwards, it would not continue afterwards. So Chak Olam tells you that it continues afterwards, and that's what Tosafot brought before. The havamina, Aaron makriv chavitim b'choyom, ubanav shenasek tonim gdolim. And his children, only when they got elevated to Kohen Gadol. Afo bishuvar nitchantku b'kuna tejot, even though they became a Kohen Gadol earlier. But Rabbi Shimon lately high svara. Rabbi Shimon says that doesn't make any sense, doesn't make that suggestion, and therefore he doesn't need an extra posuk to teach you that issue. Khalil Takhtar, ulamali. What do you do with Khalil Takhtar? Ibaile the Katanya, in Yalel Yona, Minchat Kohen Gadol, Bikhalil Takhtar, Bitakhtona, Minchat Kohen Yodot, Balo Teachel. The Pasuk says, Vakoin Mashiach Takhtab Mibenav Yaseuta, Chakolam Lashem, Khalil Takhtar. Put on this Vak Khalil. The next Pasuk says, Bechol Minchat Kohen, Khalil Tia, Lo Teachel. So they have two aspects to it. One is Khalil Takhtar, that's going to be Zvek entirely. And the other aspect is that Kol Minchat Kohen, Khalil Tia, Lo te'achel. There's a restriction against eating it. So now, Khalil Takhtar would teach you that there's an Isra Aseh. If you're supposed to put the whole thing on the Mizbeach, obviously you can't eat it. But there's no Lo te'achel. So the second pasuk speaks about a Lo te'achel, but it speaks about Minchat Kohen. That's a Minchat Kohen Hejot. So by the Kohen Gadol, you have a lav of Lo te'achel. By the Kohen Gadol, by Kohen HaMashiach Takhtar Mibanav, you have Khalil Takhtar. It must go fully on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara wants to know, how do I know to blend the two and say that the application is for both of them? So Tamalomar Khalil, Khalil Ligzera Shavu. That's what the word Khalil teaches you. Nemarakan Khalil, Venemar Lahalan Khalil. It says Khalil in both Psukim. Makan bi Khalil Takhtar. Just like in the first Pasuk by the Kohen Gadol, it says fully burn it on the Mizbeach. Afalan bi Khalil Takhtar. So too, further on, it would be, meaning the next Pasuk by the Kohen Hejod, it's also Khalil Takhtar. Malahalan litain lota seachilato. Just like by the Kohen Hejod, it says lote achel. Afkan litain a lota seachilato. It also means that you have to have a lota se, meaning that there's a gzer shava Khalil Khalil, to teach you that the Khalil of the first Pasuk applies to the Khalil of the second Pasuk, and the lota achel the second Pasuk applies to the first Pasuk. What's interesting about it is that the second Pasuk does include the word Khalil. What would you think the word Khalil means if it doesn't mean Khalil Takhtar? It could be there for the gzer shava, but the Gemara presents it as if it needs both sides of it. The Khalil Takhtar is learned from the first Pasuk to the second Pasuk, and the lota achel from the second Pasuk to the first Pasuk, but the second Pasuk already has the word Khalil in it. And I don't know how you would explain Khalil except for Khalil Takhtar, and I'm not sure what the Havamina was there in that in terms of the Khalil Takhtar. Sava Rabbi Shimon Michel Tzibur Doraita? Does Rabbi Shimon really believe that the necessity for the Tzibur to bring the Minchat Chavitin is a Torah prescribed law? That's not. The Mishnah in Shkalim, the Amar Rabbi Shimon, Shiva Dvarim Itkinu Beitin, V'zeh Echad Mehem. The Beitin put into place 7 takanot, and this is one of them. One of them is missing. That's the previous part of the Mishnah. The previous Mishnah is that if you found a Korban from Yerushalayim out to Migdal Eder, if it was a Zachar, it was automatically assumed to be an Olah, and if it was a Nekeva, it was assumed to be a Shlamim. And then in the beginning, they used to tell the person who found the animal that they would take a mashkon from him, they would collateralize him and say, you have to bring the nisachim along with the korban. So you know what happens when they do something like that. Anytime somebody saw an animal, they start to run the other way. Because who's going to want to find the lost animal now? Because they're going to be on the hook for the nisachim. They're going to lose money on it. So why would they ever find something? So they realized that it was turning out to be detrimental. And therefore, Beit Din came along, shayu nechasecha krevim mishel tzibur. They said that the nisachim come from the tzibur to avoid that problem. So that's what it says over here. Shiva dvarim itkiru beitin v'zeh echad mehem. That's one of them. That's one of the 7 things was the fact that when you find an animal, that nisachim come from the tzibur. Here's number 2. Oveid kochavim shalach oloto mibidrat hayam. A goy that sends a korban to be placed in the mizbech. Shalach ima nisachim kreva mishalo. If he sends nisachim to come along with their enough money for nisachim, they're paid for by his monies, for his nisachim that he sent. Mlav, if that's not the case, krevim mishal tzibur. The tzibur puts it up. That's learned out from the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, ish, the rabot of de kuchavim, that they're allowed to bring, or makivim olot, they're allowed to be a dev olot. Question about shlamim, whether they can add shlamim, but at least an olah they can bring, and olah comes with a nesach. So the nesach is either paid for by himself, but if he doesn't do it, we're not going to reject his korban, we're going to bring it from the tzibur. So that's the next takana. V'chein ger shemeit, a ger that passes away, v'niach zvachim, he left zvachim that after he put on his bech, yeshlo nisachim, if he already paid for nisachim, or he purchased things for nisachim, they go along with the korban, krevim mishalo, then it comes out of his pocket. V'imlav, krevim mishal tzibur, if not, it comes from the tzibur. As Tosfo points out, if he has yet to designate him as nisachim, all his possessions are hefker. If he doesn't have yorshim, then there's hefker, and therefore you have to bring a mishal tzibur, because the monies don't belong to him anymore, and there's nowhere to take the monies to pay for the nisachim. Number 4 is, tonight beitin hu, kohen gadol shemeit, lo miknu kohen acher tachtav, kohen gadol that dies, and they didn't point someone else in place of him, shtei minchato kreva mishal tzibur. So they're takanat chachamim. Rabbi Shimon just said up in our Mishnah that it's a din d'oraita. Now you tell me it's a takanat chachamim. So Amar Rabbi Bau, shnei takanut hayu. There were 2 different takanot. It went through stages. Deoraita, mina Torah, midi tzibur. Comes out of the coffers of the tzibur. Kevin duchazu duka midchaka lishka. There was pressure on the public coffers because of the fact that the kohenim gadolim were turning over so fast. That's based on the Gemara and Yoma that every year there was a new kohen gadol. And there seemingly were gaps between the appointments of the kohenim gadolim. Part of it might have been political. They were political appointments, so it took time to get the political appointment. The other possibility that they were dying and then they didn't replace them fast enough. Whatever it was, it took them time because it's a big process to pick the new Kohen Gadol. Takinu d'legabe miyorshim. Let's put the Yorshim on the hook for this. So they'll have to pay for it. Came into Chazu d'kapashiba. Yorshim said, we don't care. We're not paying for it. So akmo adoraita. They went back to the original state, which is they went back to the doraita. So there were 2 levels of takana. There was a takana that pushed it to the Yorshim. And then the second takana, which is what's being described in Mishnah and Shkalim, is they pushed it back to the din d'oraita that the tzibur will pay for it, which is the original din d'oraita. Now, what's interesting is that when they force the yorshim to pay for it, it does present the problem. If the obligation d'oraita is to bring it from the tzibur, how do you have private people paying for a korban at tzibur? So what you have to say is that they compelled the yorshim to pay and then donate it into the tzibur, which is not so easy. Meaning that's one thing to get them to pay for it. The other thing to actually have them donate the money and then have it go to the coffers of the tzibur and be a korban tzibur, that's a little harder. It might be part of the failure in the takana itself, is that you can compel someone maybe to pay. You can't compel them to actually voluntarily give it over to the tzibur unless they really want to give it. So in that way, they couldn't compel them to pay for it because they weren't willingly giving it over to the tzibur. Now, the truth is that this takana seems only a takana according to Rabbi Shimon. Which means Rabbi Shimon, who thinks the doraita was the original, was Mishel Tzibur, switched to Mishel Yerushim and went back to Mishel Tzibur. Question is, what does Rabbi Yehuda think? Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's Mishel Yerushim, doraita. Does he believe that Rabbi Shimon's takana is correct and that they still moved it back to Tzibur? Does he agree with that takana? It's not clear here, although Tosafot, at the end of Mar's Daf, he says that he thinks that Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree with that and that he only has 1 takana of Rabbi Abba. He doesn't have both, but he at least has 1 takana of Rabbi Abba, which is that it was originally from the Yerushim and they switched it to Mishel Tzibur. So he says in the end, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree it's brought me to Tzibur. Rabbi Shimon says it went through 2 stages of takanot, but it is doraita that's going from Tzibur. It came back to doraita. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Mishel Yerushim. and it was moved to Shel Tzibur, and it's only Takanat Rabbanan that comes from the Tzibur. Now that's also interesting, because now you have the opposite effect with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, you have that it's an obligation of the Yorshim, and meantime, the Tzibur is funding a private obligation of the Yorshim. How does the Tzibur fund that? Or how does that work? The Tzibur can only fund a Korban Tzibur. They can't fund a Korban Yachid. So you have a problem in the other direction, which leads you to what we discussed before, that Minchat Chavitim seems to sit somewhere between a Minchat Yachid and a Minchat Tzibur, which is that it's a personal obligation of the Kohen Gadol, but it has trappings of a Korban Tzibur, including Doche Shabbat, Doche Tumah, similar to the Pesach, which is also a Korban Yachid that has certain trappings that make it look like a Shel Tzibur, which is it's brought, first of all together with all of Klai. So it's Doche Shabbat, Doche Tumah. Here you have a Minchat Chavitin, it's brought with the Korban Tamid, which is the Korban of the Tzibur. So there's an association between the Korban Tzibur and the Minchat Chavitin, because they are joined together in some way, even though it's a Korban Yachid. And so there is an aspect of both the Korban Yachid and the Korban Tzibur here, and that might be what gives the Tzibur the right to step in when there's no Yachid there. That when there's a Yachid, it's an obligation of the Kohen Gadol. When there is no Kohen Gadol, then the Tzibur steps in because there's a necessity for the Chavitin, irrespective of the Yachid, because we want it associated with the Korban HaTamid, and there's the Tzibur aspect of it which we want to maintain, even though the Yachidim are really the ones who should be funding it in this situation. So it's an interesting aspect of it, both from Rabbi Shimon's perspective and Rabbi Yehuda's perspective. Once you make these takanot, how do they actually work? Because you're really changing a dynamic in a korban that can't be changed from yachid to tzibur, tzibur to yachid. Val para shloim olim be'efra. This is number 5 in that list. There's no mi'ilah in the ashes of the para duma that was burnt to be the taher people. Doraita he. That is doraita. What do you mean that's derabana? There's no mi'ilah. It's doraita. D'tanya. Chatat he. The truth is really learning from the word chatat now. Chatat memedet shoma olim ba. So, but chatat teaches you it's just like a chatat. A chatat has mi'ilah. So too a paraduma has a din of mi'ilah. He, so he it says, ba mo'alim, ve'efra ein mo'alim. He teaches you that only the chatat itself, or the paraduma itself, has a din of mi'ilah. The ashes that are burnt from it do not have a din of mi'ilah. So that's doraita. There's no mi'ilah over here. So why is Rabbi Shimon saying it's a takanat chachamim that there's no mi'ilah? Once again, Amar Rav Ashi, shtei takanot avai. He went through his stages. Deoraita, bat mo'alim, befara, in mo'alim. The original stage was that deoraita, it was mi'ilah in the paraduma itself, but there was no mi'ilah with regards to Ephra. Came in the chazu, dekha mizalzalei ba. They saw people were not treating it with kedusha because there was no punishment, there was no restriction against misappropriating it. Then they did exactly that. They misappropriated it. They used to use it as a salve for curing wounds on their arms. And as Tosva points out, this is Rav Ashi l'shitato, because he says over here, Rav Ashi l'tamei damar b'mesechet makot, the efer makle mutar laniach ha-makato. You're allowed to put efer makle on your makah, mishum de makato muchechet alav. Because you can see the wound, and there it's obvious that they're not trying to do ktovet kaka, but rather, they're trying to do a salve or put something on the wound, and the wound makes it obvious that you're not trying to do ktovet kaka. But you see that Rav Ashi thinks that it's efficacious for the wound. Gazru bei mi'ilah. So then they put in the effect of mi'ilah. Mi'ilah d'rabanan. That's what Tosafot discusses over here. Is there such a concept as mi'ilah d'rabanan? He says, mashma hacha de'ika mi'ilah d'rabanan. And then he goes through different places in Shas as to whether there really is mi'ilah d'rabanan. And then he says in the end, yet there is mi'ilah d'rabanan. But how come the Gemara in some places says mi'ilah d'rabanan? We never heard of it. He says that in the context of Mi'ilah Doraita, we don't have Mi'ilah Darabanan. If you already have Mi'ilah that the Torah puts in place, the Rabbanan aren't going to come and add on more Mi'ilah on top of it. In a place where there's no Mi'ilah Doraita, then you might have an institution of Mi'ilah Darabanan. So that's the case here. The Eifer had no din of Mi'ilah Doraita. So there the Rabbanan will come in and impose Mi'ilah Darabanan. That's a possibility. If something already has a Mi'ilah Doraita, and then it disappears because of something happens to the Korban or whatever happened, then they're not going to impose additional Mi'ilot on top of it to prevent something from happening. But there is a concept of Mi'ilah d'Rabbanan. Dan Gazrei Mi'ilah, Kevin d'Chazu Kaparshe Misafek Hazaot, Mu'a d'Oraita. Then people were in trouble, because if you make a Mi'ilah, it means misappropriated. Misappropriated means that if you're not certain you should be doing a sprinkling of Paraduma, then you're not going to do it, because you don't want to be in violation of Mi'ilah. So the way to free people up to use it is to take away the problem of Mi'ilah. And that's what it means, the takana, that there is no Mi'ilah, was that they had imposed Mi'ilah, and they took that imposition away because they wanted people to use it more freely and use it in Makom Safek. Because if they didn't use it in Makom Safek, then you have people with fake tumah, and that presents a serious problem. So to avoid that, they allowed it or freed up that restriction of milah derabanan, so people would use it much more freely. All right, I'm going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Nun Bet, Amud Aleph.